You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So we're talking top 25 90s songs?
1990.
Yeah.
Not 90s.
No, I know. I know what you meant.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Possessive of 1990.
Yes.
All right.
I can sum it up in 3 words. I won't start it yet, but go ahead.
I think this is going to be fun because, not having done any research on these songs, I'm going to be relying completely on my gray matter, and I don't know if you've done any research.
Yep, I went back and listened to almost every one of them.
Did you?
The ones that I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Because they all sounded familiar, but I couldn't place how the tune goes. So I had to go back and listen to them. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself. I recognize most of them, but there's going to be ones that I'm like, I should know, but I don't. Well, at least not top of my head right now. So good, you'll get to sing for me. All right. Let's see, recording. Recording is growing. By the way, did you go back and listen to any of the Star Wars episodes?
I've listened to 2 of them, yes.
Okay. What did you think
the two that have been released? Why?
The Empire one. What did you think of those?
The
call-in thing.
I meant to send you a message about that. That was freaking awesome because I remember doing that.
Oh, you did do that. Okay.
I called those numbers, and for the life of me, I thought I was imagining it forever.
Okay.
The first one that you played was C-3PO and R2-D2 talking.
Right.
Well, R2-D2.
Well, C-3PO.
Beeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so cool. It really it brought back this flood of memories that of calling that phone with the anticipation of Empire Strikes Back coming out. So it was very cool.
Well, very cool. That's because I'd never heard that before.
And, really? Oh, I came across it,
and I was like, this is so cool. I've got to include this. And so every message that was on that the video I found, it wasn't a video, but the audio I found, every one of the messages I incorporated into that show just because I thought that was so cool. I couldn't exclude one.
No, it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
I also recall some kind of phone number you would call to get like side stories of Star Wars.
Oh, okay. I didn't come across that.
Yeah, that could be part of my imagination.
Okay.
You know, like spinning off of the phone calls that you posted on there, on the messages that you posted.
Okay.
And I have thought about that many times over the years. I'm like, how do I find that? I don't even know where to start looking for that. So that's cool that you found those messages.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very cool. I just wanted to see if you'd like what you thought of them. I thought they were awesome. So.
Oh, they were very cool. Very cool. Flood of memories.
Very cool. All right. Let's see. Recording.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
This is Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hey, everybody.
And it's been a while since we talked something 1990s. So what Scott came up with a brilliant idea is he's like, let's talk about the top 25 songs from the year 1990. So what he did was he sent me over the Billboard magazine's top 100 list, and we're just going to go 25 up and talk about each one of these songs. If you've been a regular listener of the show, you realize that I did something similar with Kristen Kaivo, and we actually talked about top 25 songs for the whole decade of 1990. Scott, I didn't run this past you, but I thought we could do the same format where we can talk about the song and then give it the label of crunchy or creamy. So I thought you would have fun with that.
Oh boy.
So every one of these songs, it being the funny definition of crunchy or creamy being it's kind of up to the person. You know, as far as what they determine as, you know, what a crunchy sound will be or a crunchy message for a song versus creamy. So it'd be funny to not only just, you know, give it a label, but also why it gets that designation.
Okay.
So we're going to go back into our whole peanut butter scheme here of things, which we haven't done in a while.
That's true. We have not.
We have not. So my thought, Scott, is we'll go 25 up.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with 25 and then work our way up, to one.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, okay. So I was able to come up with, let me throw this out there first.
Sure.
So I didn't specifically pick 1990 for any real reason other than we knew that, you know, we it's been a while since we've talked about music of the '90s. And we were trying to, you know, you and I were kind of just tossing ideas around. And I just thought, oh, let's just do the top 25 of 1990 like you did with Kaivo, Chris Kaivo. And we've done similar things before, like Rose and I did one where we did – it was a different year though. I can't even remember which one it was. I'd have to go back and look. But this one I just kind of went – well, let's just do 1990 and we'll see where it takes us with the top 25. Okay. Now, would you like, I have three words that I could sum this list up in pretty quickly for about 80% of the songs.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sappy love songs.
Yes.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some of that that's going to play into this because you've got you're going from Linda Ronstadt to Michael Bolton, Belle Biv DeVoe. Yeah.
Well, the Belle Bivs actually were a little bit more upbeat, but yeah, there's some really, really sappy stuff in here. But there's a couple in here that are really, really good songs.
Sinead O'Connor, yeah.
So, well, let's get to, let's start with 25.
25. So what's 25?
25 is If Wishes Came True by Sweet Sensation. Now, I've never heard, I don't recall ever hearing this song before. So I wanted to look it up on and see if maybe I'd heard it. But I started listening to it. I'm like, yeah, I've never heard this song, but it's just, it's got a very slow, just it's a female singer. I don't know her name. I don't know anything about this Sweet Sensation, but it's just very slow and sappy, and if wishes came true. I mean, that right there is, it says a lot in the title, and it's just very, very blah. There's nothing, you know, I'm not saying that it's a bad song, but it's just very, very slow and sappy and love and yeah, it's, yeah. So do you remember the song at all?
I don't. And that's the reason why I was like, when we were talking earlier, I was like, I didn't do any research coming into or plugging into this today. So I don't recall the song at all, even though I feel like I should know it. And it's going to be tough to give it a rating of crunchy or creamy, not having remembered it. And just based on your description, I feel like it's by nature a creamy song.
Extra, extra creamy. Heavy whipped cream.
I just wonder if I heard the beginning part of it, if I would like.
Well, feel free to look it up and hear it.
Wishes came true. It feels like something I would recognize. Sweet sensations. I don't know if I'm going to hear this or not. We'll see. Oh, of course, there's an ad. Give us 5 seconds.
Of course.
Okay, here we go. Oh, nope, another ad. What the hell? On your favorite devices, YouTube TV. Try it free. All right, here we go. No, I don't.
Stand by.
Yeah, I don't recognize this.
Fast forward a little bit. I know nobody can hear it, so you might want to drop a little bit of background music later on.
Yeah, no, I don't recognize this at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either, and that was number 25 for the year.
Yeah, I know. And I just...
It wasn't just that week.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, this is just very, very... creamy smooth based on the few seconds I listened. It's amazing that something got to 25 that like neither one of us recall. But yeah. Were you still into heavy metal at this point?
Oh, very much.
Yeah. So this wouldn't have been in your wheelhouse.
However, 1990, I was 22.
Right.
And I had already moved from California to Chicago, and I was hanging out with my buddies, and we were at the clubs a lot, you know, because that's where the girls were.
Of course.
So we went, but still, that's such a slow, sappy song. I don't think in a club they're not going to bring it down to that level very often.
Right.
Where some of the other songs, there's a couple songs in here that are upbeat, like when we get to number 13.
Yeah.
That one is definitely something that. And it's still played often today, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. So is.
So yeah, that one you'll see that was a very common thing in the clubs back in 90.
Okay.
But a lot of these other ones were not so much. So.
So 25, we're both saying we don't really remember, but we know that it's a very smooth, creamy song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then number 24, She Ain't Worth It. By Glenn Medeiros and Bobby Brown.
Yeah, and I looked this one up. I don't recognize this one at all either. It's kind of a dance hip hop, not really hip hop. Pop. It was very poppy, kind of just an upbeat song, but. I don't know if I could give this a creamy or a crunchy. I think that I would call this garbage. Sorry, guys. Glenn and Bobby. yeah. I did not like it. I didn't like it at all. It's just definitely way, way, way outside my norm. No matter what the era. I was slipping. Yeah.
Now, actually, I do recognize this.
It kind of reminds me of a lot of Bobby Brown stuff like that. I don't know. Would you call that hip hop or just pop?
Oh, this is definitely pop. Okay, no, I wouldn't give pop. This. Yeah, I wouldn't give this hip hop.
Pop rock.
Yeah, I'm actually able to play it as you're talking, and I hear you just fine, which is going to be great if it's picking up recording.
It is on your end.
Yeah, so if we're... I won't have to edit this in, and people will be able to hear at least me sampling the song.
Yeah, hopefully your voice will be loud enough to over...
Yeah, we'll see about
our voice.
Right. Hopefully I'm not, like, ruining myself here.
Well, I have it on my end, too. I mean, I'm recording also, so...
Okay.
If side doesn't work out right, then...
Right.
We'll just use mine.
No, I do remember this one. Let's see, 90, so... The scenario that I would have heard this in was when I graduated data processing technician A school. Then I was going to the clubs on the base, and I'm almost sure that I would have heard this there. If not, you know, at a like on a jukebox on the base.
Right.
So yeah, I think. It sounds familiar to me enough, but you're right. It's very Bobby Brownish. If that's a way to phrase something.
Well, it has that same pop sound.
Yeah.
That a lot of the artists were going for, and we'll run into that quite a bit on this list too.
Yeah.
Other than the sappy love songs, that's what is the most popular on this.
Right.
So.
So.
There's not one. There's not like one rock song on this list.
Well, let me see. So are you going to say, is there no crunchy on this list?
Let me look again. Okay. Maybe two.
Maybe two of them are crunchy for you?
Maybe. Most of them are all very creamy.
I've got, yeah, I see two coming up that, that's about right. Yeah, about two. So based on that, then we're number 24. We're both saying creamy then. She ain't worth it.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know any way to classify that. I knew I'd heard this before.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was very synonymous with the sound that was going on that Bobby was really putting out there. And I don't know. Did Glenn Medeiros do anything else that we know of?
I have no idea. I looked I clicked on his name right. to the link, and I don't recognize anything. And he doesn't look familiar.
Okay.
So I don't remember watching any videos.
Okay.
So anyway. Number 23.
Okay. So what's...
23 is Johnny Gill. And I remember the name Johnny Gill. I remember he was in that the same type of poppy Bobby Brown style. I guess that's a new thing now. A new way to explain it. It's a Bobby Brown style in 1990.
Bobby Brownish.
Or even Hammer, MC Hammerish. Hit a lot of similar dance moves and also kind of Michael Jackson like in the video that I watched. It's called Rub You the Right Way, and it was really kind of weird. Yes, it's very much like the title says. Rub You the Right Way is basically what he's talking about, and that's just gonna sex you up, you know. that's what he's talking about. And I'm gonna say it's an upbeat song. You could dance to it. He was dancing a lot, but it's got to lean towards the creamy again for me.
Yeah, I'm listening to it right now. I don't know this one at all.
That's three. I'm three for three right now.
Yeah.
25, 24, and 23. I've never heard these songs. I don't remember them at all.
The video does have a very MC Hammer look to it, the way he's kind of dancing.
Yes, the way he's dancing, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a great comparison. But the song, it's not memorable. which means that, you know, after we get done talking, I'm probably going to go the rest of my days without going, what was that song we talked about?
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. In the sea of other songs that were going on, it's surprising that this is top 25. But to me, it's like something that is easily forgettable.
Yeah.
Sorry, Johnny. So I'm going, Creamy as well, just because it's, you know, in a sea of other things and it's not, you know, standing out for me.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we at? We're at number 22. I Want to Be Rich, Calloway.
I remember this song.
I remember that one. Yeah.
You remember hearing it a lot. I don't know if I could give it a crunchy. It's still, I don't know. It's really kind of in between. It's not really creamy or crunchy on that one. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know if I would classify it as crunchy at all. I remember joking around a lot. You know, the song, of course, came out. Everybody was like in the hype of wanting to be yuppie-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So it really played to the, you know, the message of the day. Of, you know, you wanting all its success and being a young urban professional. But it was very poppy the way it delivered that message.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like something I remember that I want to, and it wasn't until much later that I met my wife, but I seem to remember that one time that she had had a few too many cocktails and, you know, with her friend Carmen, and, you know, they were like shouting out the I Want to Be Rich lyrics.
Really?
Yeah. Well, just because, you know, it was like, you know, they're having fun with it. You know?
Right.
I don't remember it being any song that was that memorable to her. But, you know, obviously it struck a chord that she remembered it enough that she was going to, you know, in a state that she was in where, you know, her inhibitions were down, she was going to scream out this song. But, you know, and have fun with it. So I remember that more than the actual, like, any pretense back in 1990 when I heard it. But
yeah.
At the same time, it would have been playing, you know, at the clubs and, you know, pizza parlors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'd heard it, definitely. Once again, it's well within the creamy pretense. There's nothing about this that's, you know, really edgy or kind of heavy duty rock and roll. So, and that's what I'm kind of looking for, more of a crunchiness. Or yep. Maybe a message that is
a little darker.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking for crunchy. And that's not this.
That. Yeah. So we're down to 21.
21. And what's that?
All Around the World by Lisa Stansfield. And I totally remember the song after I had to look it up, though. I'm like, I know that name. I know that title. And within a few seconds, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this song. And I like this. It's a really cool song. And I love her voice. I think she's got a really good voice. Very creamy, though. Just totally, you know, you're having creamy peanut butter with whipped cream on top. And cream cheese. Throw that in there.
Yeah, it's like putting in some whipped butter of some sort with the creamy peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great song, though. I like that song.
Yeah, I don't mind this one at all. I'm actually listening to it right now.
It really brings back a lot of memories of the early 80s. You know, because, you know, just because it came out in 90 and was the top song for 90, it doesn't mean it just fell off the face of the earth after 1990.
Right.
I remember hearing it for several years after that.
And it's like one of those that I wouldn't have you know, let's say, imagine you're going up to a jukebox and you're putting in a quarter in. It's not like one of those that you go, I want to hear All Around the World by Lisa Stanfield. It's, you're lucky if you even remember that that's the name of the song.
Right. If I was playing trivia and you asked me who sang that song, I would never been able to tell you.
Right. Right. But it's like if you're...
Now I will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously now. But, I mean, if we were like, you know, had a 90s playlist going, like in the background on shuffle, and this mm-hmm. just showed up on that, you know, in the rotation, you wouldn't turn it off or you wouldn't skip song. You'd be like, yeah, I remember this. This was great. But it's like one of those that you're like, I don't really... It's like you don't need it to know who sang it. And it's not like I'm going to go break out and go, I need to, you know, listen to the, you know, Lisa Stanfield's entire catalog now because of mm-hmm. All Around the World. That's never going to happen. But if I find out that, you know, she's had one or two other big hits, I'd be like, oh, that was her? That's cool. So that's kind of where she is in my brain. But yeah, this is very velvety, peanut buttery, smooth, creamy, all, you know, completely.
Yep.
Yep. Let's see. So that brings us to number 20, Don't Know Much, Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. Yes, oh my God. Just, I've never really liked Aaron Neville's voice. It's very bizarre. He's got that, you know, a vibrato going all the time. I know he's very talented and a lot of people think he's a really good singer, but I've never really appreciated it. Linda Ronstadt, you know, she's talented. She's very, you know, she's got a very classic, history to her. So she's been around for a long time doing a lot of stuff, but this song is just, oh God. I just want to puke. It really is that. It's just way too love song sappy for me. I mean, I appreciate a good love song occasionally, but wow.
So is it Aaron Neville or is it?
It's Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt.
No, I know that, but is it the reason why you don't like it is because of Aaron Neville, or is it just because it's the lyrics? Okay,
it's the lyrics. It's just bleh.
Well, just out of curiosity, the Meatloaf song, you know, I would do anything for you, but I won't do that. What do you think of that one?
I would do anything for love.
Yeah.
But I won't.
Yeah.
But that's a play on words. That I mean, he's not. It's not a.
You're okay with that song is what you're going at.
No, I'm not even going to say I'm okay with it. It's kind of cheesy.
Okay.
But it's not a love song in the same sense that this one is a love song.
Okay.
This is like serious. This is like, you know, looking into your lover's eyes and crying and not even saying words, you know. that's how deep this one is. The Meatloaf song, you can't compare that. It's just...
I'm trying to find the line of demarcation with you as far as, like, you know, what kind of sappy love song do you tolerate? And so that was the reason why I asked that question. Don't know much. I don't mind the song. I don't mind it at all. I can't recall the last time I heard it, but it's like I don't have to bring it up because it automatically, as soon as, you know, we got to this number, I was like, oh yeah, of course. So it automatically is gotten a portion in my brain where it's hooked, where I remembered, you know, it was Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville. I knew that, and I just wish I remembered more of the pretense as to why it stuck in my brain. Because we were past prom at this point. So I don't think I was...
Oh, that would have been a great prom song.
Right. So there had to be a hook into it for like some sort of relationship or a girl of some kind, but I can't recall one, you know, for this year. I mean, I was in I fell in love with a girl when I was in data processing technician A school, a girl named Michelle. But this wasn't our song. So I don't, it's like, I can't recall where, you know, where this would have affected me so much that I like remembered it from 1990. But, and I mean, not to say that, you know, it wouldn't have been playing at one point and maybe we danced to it. I don't know. But it didn't, yeah, struck a chord into me, like, where I'm like, oh, yeah, that was that time that I was with Michelle and we were doing this. I don't have that. But Don't Know Much is definitely nothing but just extra creamy peanut butter all the way through.
Yeah.
Henry, will you please see what those boys are up to?
Introducing WWF Wrestling Buddies. Wrestling Buddies from Tonka. Funk 'em, bop 'em. Wrestling Buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Dropkick!
Who do you think you are?
Zach Hogan!
Wrestling buddies want to be your buddies.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
WWF Wrestling Buddies, new from Tonka. Each sold separately.
Teddy Grahams are here to stay. New vanilla is so fine.
You said you're trying to figure out where my
your line of demarcation for what a cheesy love song that you would not hate.
So have you ever heard the song Closer by Nine Inch Nails?
Yes.
That's a love song. That's a good love song.
A Nine Inch Nails song.
No, actually,
get the fuck out of here.
No, I'm kidding. If you listen to the lyrics, you'll see why I'm joking around. Come on. You know the new lyrics to that, don't you?
it's escaping me right now. Mm-hmm. Closer, Nine Inch Nails lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Just, you let me violate you. You let me desecrate you. You let me penetrate you. Yeah. You let me complicate you. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. Well, then we get, you know, down to the chorus. I want to fuck you like an animal. I want to fill you from the inside. I want to fuck you like an animal. That's what we get for having explicit podcast.
Yeah.
We don't have to bleep that, which is good.
No, we don't.
Yeah, that's definitely a lovey-dovey song there. So, Don't Know Much. So we're on number 19 then.
Mm-hmm. Don't know this song at all. It's called Release Me by Wilson Phillips.
Did you listen to it?
I did. I did not recognize it at all. Another sappy love song. But love, like, if you love me, let me go kind of thing.
Right.
So it's more of a sad, like a breakup song. It's a breakup song. So it's a sappy breakup song.
I'm actually bringing it up right here, and I feel like I should know it. Oh, I do. Just by the opening chords, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But I was like very, I was, must have been very into my my other genre at the time.
Yeah, well,
which 1990, we're just coming out of the hair metal thing and getting into the grunge scene, which I wasn't a huge fan of for a little while. It took me a while to get into it, but still.
All right.
I was not this. No, none of these. There's like none of these songs are on this list. There's maybe two that I'm that I knew that were like in my wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, this is where I come clean. I wouldn't say like a diehard, but I've always been fans of Wilson Phillips.
Really? Okay.
I remember having the album that this was on. I don't know what it was. I don't know. It was like one of those things where I was okay with being well, I mean, it would have been a cassette. So it wasn't like the, you know, like a LP or something. But I kind of bought into the top 25 music, you know, of the time, and Wilson Phillips was in their prime in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of funny because I just rewatched Some Kind of Wonderful the other day, and China Phillips, who is the lead singer, one of the singers in this, she was in Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So she plays the other woman that Hardy is fooling around with, in front of Amanda Jones, that she can routinely catches him. So it was just kind of like, oh yeah, there's another connection right there to this topic.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think she did any other acting roles though. But yeah, so she was the blonde in Wilson Phillips. And yeah, I remember digging their sound. I remember really, I mean, it's, you know, as much as you would consider, the popularity of boy bands back then, I mean, they would have been the female equivalent of that, because I don't think they played any instruments. You know, it was just them singing.
And I will say, they harmonized amazingly.
Yeah.
Like, they are they sound really, really good together. I don't know how, electronically influenced any of that is, but they just sounded really good together in their harmonies.
Yeah.
That's something I always really appreciated about them, that band, Wilson Phillips, but their harmonies are amazing.
Yep. So this, it almost seems silly to ask, but I don't see how it could be anything but creamy.
That's creamy.
Yeah. All right, so number 18, we're going Black Velvet, Elena Miles.
One of my favorite songs, like overall in the, I have, several different playlists, you know, sometimes when we're just kind of hanging out, I like to throw this one in there with that group. Because this song, I just love her voice in this song. And the song itself is about Elvis.
Right.
Just kind of cool. I'm not a huge Elvis fan or anything, but I just think it's a nice little, tribute to Elvis of what he was to everything and to the music industry. And I've just always liked this song. I don't know why. I think it's her voice. I think she got me with the voice. And even though the word velvet is in there and it should be smooth, I think it's kind of a crunchy song, because I think she's got a little bit of a raspiness to it, and she just puts so much energy, so much, power into her voice when she's singing, that it just sounds kind of crunchy.
Huh.
Although it's velvet too, so it should be, you know, smooth.
Right.
Like the velvet fog. Mel Torme.
Yeah, the song, I can actually take it or leave it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things where if it's on in the background and it gets me in, you know, the kind of whatever kind of mood, then I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. And it's just there. But I'm never, you know, picking this to play over and over again. In fact, I think if you were to look at, like, on my Spotify list of songs, like, you know, liked songs, this is one that I had not hit liked on. So it's like one of those that just let it roll by, you know. I don't mind it, but it's like I take or leave it. And I usually would not pass it if it's on. But yeah,
right on. I understand that.
Yeah. So it's fine background music for me. But yeah, I know the background of it being about Elvis. And so what? So was it Black Velvet? Was because that's what he wore, or was it Black Velvet because of what eventually all art prints are now, you know, of him on, or just like black, you know? I don't know. I don't know what I was going at with that.
I think it was. No, I think it was. I think it was the art behind it, not the. I don't know if he wore Black Velvet. I remember him wearing white leather.
I know Black Velvet. Meaning of song. Let's see if it gives me anything here. Song facts. Oh, I can actually find something here. Let's see. We knew that the song was about Elvis Presley. Black Velvet and that little boy smile.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a Black Velvet Elvis painting at any respectful yard sale.
Respectful yard sale? What would be a disrespectful yard sale?
I guess obviously one that does not have that. Every word of every song he sang was for you. In a flash, he was gone. It happened too soon. What could you do?
It's a sad song. Yep. I think that's what gives it the crunchiness, too, is because it's like, it's kind of just sad, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel crunchiness about it. I feel more of a creaminess about it. So I think we're going to disagree with that.
Okay. That's fine.
Yep. So you're a fan of the song, and I could take or leave it. So,
yeah.
All right. So then we're at number 17, Close to You, Maxi Priest.
Now, I knew I heard the name Maxi Priest before, but I couldn't remember the name of the song. The name of the song didn't jog my memory. So when I looked it up, I listened to, you know, the first verse or whatever. I'm like, okay, I remember the song. Doesn't really stand out to me as something that was great, in my opinion, but it was okay. It's top 40 stuff, so just kind of poppy. It had not necessarily a Bobby Brown sound, but you remember John Cicada?
Oh, yeah. Cicada? Yeah, John Cicada, yeah.
That kind of reminded me of it, too. Like, this song kind of reminds me of a John Cicada song. So, I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for it to get to some lyrics here, because all I'm hearing is the beat.
Yeah, I know. It takes a little bit. It's got a bit of an intro. You got to get about 30 seconds in.
Yeah, I definitely remember this one. Yeah, oh my god, they overplayed the hell out of that song.
Mm-hmm. It was on the radio a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that one definitely got a lot of airplay. And it's like one of those that I didn't need to know who sang it. It was like when it was on, it was okay, but I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It had a nice beat to go with it, and it was upbeat and made you feel good when it was on, but it was, as soon as it was off, it was like, okay, what's next?
Can we add that as a new peanut butter texture? Is yeah, whatever. It's crunchy, creamy, and yeah, whatever.
Because
I could do that with a lot of these songs.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, how would you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I almost feel like we need to have like the different like flavors of peanut butter.
Yeah. They do have honey now, too. Honey and peanut butter.
Yeah.
So would that be sweet? Sweet and creamy? Sweet and crunchy? Sweet? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, then you've got, like, the natural peanut butter, and I don't know. This is a bit. We'll go bigger into a tangent on peanut butter flavors than we would talking about the songs.
Yeah, probably.
But Maxi Freeze Close to You, yeah, like I said, easily forgettable, but definitely creamy.
Mm-hmm. I would lean creamy also, yeah. Yes.
So we're on number 16. All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. And I actually was just confessing that to you, Scott, by heart.
Yeah. Wow, this song. I remember it being on the radio a lot, right? But I never really listened to the lyrics. I may have listened to them at the time, but I totally forgot about them. And this is a story about a woman who picks up a hitchhiker,
yeah,
and goes to a hotel and has sex and doesn't want to know their name.
Yeah, I remember that.
She's a dirty little whore. What is this going on? I mean, what? It's just so, it's really odd that they would just do that. I mean, I don't, it's slow and like a love song, you know? It's not like,
okay. Yo, naughty girls need love too.
Okay, Samantha Fox.
I don't know, man. Is it really fair to classify her as a whore? I mean, if she...
I don't know. Pretty easy. You just pick up some stranger on the side of the road. A hitchhiker.
Well, she, you know, she needed something, you know, and some sort of physical involvement for a night. And that's all she needed. You know, she was just, you know, that was it. You know, and here I am trying to justify that. But... I don't know if I'm going to succeed, but I mean, you're.
Am I being too judgmental?
I think you are. I think, you know, if you're, you know, a person that is not attached and you have certain needs, and if you, you know, act on those needs or desires or wants, does that make you a bad person? I don't think so. As long as you're not hurting someone else.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. That's my take on it. And you know, how come that never happens to me? How come I don't get picked up on the side of the road? And, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously okay, now I don't want that to happen. But back in the 90s, that I would have been all for it. So.
I suppose you're right on that count.
Yeah.
I just think it's – I think it's below heart.
The you're talking about the premise of the song.
Yeah. I thought, you know, because they're – at this time, they're late. They're older now. They're like, in, you know, I think they're 40-ish.
Right.
By 90. Maybe late 30s. But they portray the song like the video. If you look at the – if you watch the video – they portray it from like a young girl, like in her 20s or something. But I just think maybe they would have gotten past that type of thinking of just picking up some dude for a one night stand. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off on the maturity level, but.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to realize that, you know, the video is going to be produced for, you know, the MTV generation, you know, which are, you know, young adult, you know, teenagers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you're going to appeal to them. And, you know, chances are the person that wrote this song, you know, was not that. So, but, you know, as soon as it gets into the, you know, the producer's hand or the director's hand, they're going to try to, you know, make it digestible for, you know, the teenager, young adult public.
Mm.
So that's how it got cast. But yeah, I could see this happening in real life, but being from an older person's perspective, someone that's just is lonely. So Where does that, what does that put you? Because of the message of it? Is it crunchy at
it's
all?
It's creamy. No, it's creamy. It's all, it's sappy and emotional.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably just the way it was like delivered as far as the way it comes across. It's very slow paced, but the message behind it gives me a some sort of crunchiness to it just because it's kind of forbidden. But okay. I overall gotta go creamy.
Yeah.
So where are we at now? What number?
15.
15. And that is?
Escapade by Janet Jackson. Which, this Janet pulled out quite a few songs back then that were very catchy and poppy. But I liked her. I liked this song. I thought it was kind of a fun little, cute little song. The video is really strange. You know, because when I went back to look at all these, I went through YouTube to try to listen to them, and you know, they still, most of them have official videos attached to them.
Right.
And I don't think I ever saw this video before, because it was weird, man. It's got some strange costume stuff going on in there. Yeah, I don't remember it at all, but I remember the song very, very well. These next 15 songs were very popular on the radio. I know all of them. From here on out, I remember all of them.
I knew this one definitely. I was just bringing up the video because I was curious. But you're right. It just kind of starts off with kind of a... looks like something that would be like in Central America or Mexico or something along those lines, South America, and like a burlesque kind of a thing going on with the way everybody's kind of costumed and Mardi Gras-ish kind of look to it.
See the monkey mask yet?
I did see that. I stopped it though.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, you stopped at that?
No.
It gets weirder.
No, yeah, he's kind of just sitting there at a...
like some cafe table.
Yeah.
It's a strange video for, like, what it's talking about. Let me take you on an escapade, I guess, to a strange costume party.
I like what Janet Jackson was doing back then too. She was definitely putting out some great hits back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I was digging what she was giving us, and this kind of fell right into that same groove. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what she was doing. I'm trying to remember. Was it Rhythm Nation? Was that 91, 92, somewhere in there?
I don't know, but there for a few years there, she was very popular.
Yeah.
And I always thought she was very cute and attractive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Very cute.
Yep. So, Escapade for me is going creamy.
Yeah, it's creamy.
Yep. Next up, Opposites Attract, Paula Abdul and the Wild Pair.
Now, I don't remember this part, the Wild Pair. I don't know what that's all about.
That was the rap part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, yeah, the additional lyrics, the man lyrics, is like, I guess, the lead singer of Wild Pair, if you want to call it that.
Okay. Yeah, I remember he throws in little comments here and there.
Right, right. I remember watching, you know, I remember liking this video so much because it was not only just Paula Abdul being as attractive as she is, but also a, you know, throwing in a cartoon thing. And I remember.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Kind of like a.
Cartoon cats.
Kind of like, yeah, it was, yeah.
Like stray cats.
It kind of had a Roger Rabbit feel to it sometimes. Just not as goofy.
Right. And so I remember watching the video a lot. And it was like one of those things where I had a couple of videos that I had like the, I don't know if they were MP3s at the time. They could have been AVI files. But I had like a directory on my computer that had certain like music videos. And I remember listening to this one with my oldest daughter back when she was 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. She would sit on my lap and we would watch Opposites Attract. So this song has fond memories for me, you know, for that aspect of things. I've always loved the song. It's always a fun song. And then, you know, it does have that rap in the middle of it. I don't remember the lyrics to the rap, but it was just, I know that, you know, she was like, you know, she liked everything nice and neat. He liked things messy.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was a very fun song.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. So what's your verdict on the creamy and crunchy though?
I would give it, I'm still creamy, all the way creamy with this. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so we on to 13?
Yeah.
The song that gets played so much in every sports arena from now until the end of time.
Mostly, yeah. Yep.
Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic.
Yep.
You're never going to get away from this song.
While your feet are stomping.
Yeah. This is going to be on the playlist of just about any hockey game that you go see. Let alone, you know, any time that you've got a DJ scenario in a sporting event. This is one of those songs that is going to get thrown in there along with Come On, Feel the Noise,
right.
Queen songs, yeah.
Back in Black.
Yeah. This is arena rock at its best.
Oh, yeah. And it's also one that you're going to hear at a lot of, like, weddings.
Pump Up the Jam? Yeah, you would hear it at receptions, yeah.
Because it's gonna be one of those retro things you're gonna hear where, you know, it's for the parents.
Yeah.
Parents of the brides and the grooms. Because it's very nostalgic, but it still has it's still relatable today because people hear that stuff, like you said, at a lot of sporting events.
Right.
So yeah, it's I'm sure it's on the short list of most DJs doing whatever they do.
Right.
Even if they throw it in just for like 30 seconds and mix it up, you know?
Yeah. It's like one of those that, it's like, you know, the rules to a mixtape, you can't play it at the beginning. You've got to blend it in. Your goal when this song comes on is to keep people on the dance floor. You don't want to, you know, throw it out there at the beginning and hope that they're going to just run out to the dance floor as soon as they hear Pump Up the Jam. Because I don't see that happening. Right. But your goal is, yeah, once you've got them out there, you know, majority of people.
Once you got them loosened up. Once they're lubed up a little bit, then they can get out.
Yeah. You're throwing a pump up the jam somewhere in there in the mix of things to keep it going, to keep the party flowing. And that's not blowing your wad. So that's, you know. Yeah.
To keep party flowing.
So Pump Up the Jam, to me, it's got to go crunchy.
Crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
I could feel that.
So then.
But the question is, how am I supposed to live without you?
I celebrate his entire catalog.
Do you?
Michael nice. Bolton, yes.
Call me Mike.
What to say about Michael Bolton?
You know, he's a very talented performer. He's got a very talented voice. He just sings a lot of sappy songs. I think that's why most people make fun of him, because he's just so deep. He takes things so seriously.
Yeah. He does. He's a very serious guy. And
I have a friend that looks exactly like him. minus the hair. You know, like in his later years when he cut all his hair off.
Yeah.
In the more recent years, he cut all. You know, he kind of went, you know, business. No more mullet, really, because it was kind of business balding up front, and really long in the back. But then he just kind of like accepted the truth and decided just go all business. But I got a buddy that looks just like him. It's bizarre. I might have to. I'll pull a couple pictures and I'll send them to you. See if you agree.
No, I may have left that playing just a little bit too long as you were talking. So yeah, Michael Bolton. I don't know what to say, man. I can't get behind it. I can't get behind what this guy was giving us. Yeah, he was too much. Just not a fan.
Yeah. Just so serious.
Yeah. And it's weird because I can, I'm, you know, I mean, I admitted Wilson Phillips I like. And, you know, I can get behind most other people, but it's like, yeah, for some reason what this guy was giving us got old. It just got really old. So, yeah, I'm not going to. I will skip if he comes on the you know, on Spotify, and I'm listening to it on my Google device. It'll be, hey Google, next song. I'm not letting that one play out.
Okay.
But the way this one is, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You is, yeah, nothing but just utter creaminess.
Yep. Totally.
So that gets us to number 11.
I don't remember this song at all.
Belle Biv DeVoe, Do Me.
Yeah. This is the last song that I don't recognize. And I listened to the song. And I'm like, didn't catch me at all. Belle Biv DeVoe, this might as well have been Bobby Brown also, really. But it's got a little bit more of a hip hop rap feel to it. Because it has multiple singers in it. Belle Biv DeVoe is not just one guy,
right?
So, you know, it's several guys singing, but it's got the same beat and feel as the dancey poppy stuff like that, although the message is kind of like the Heart song, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You, but it's from his point of view, you know, do me. It's all about me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what to give this as far as creamy or crunchy.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I keep kind of jumping through here. It's like I recognize the song, but I keep jumping through like the song. Yeah.
How about Moldy? Can we add that one?
Moldy? That is not a peanut butter flavor.
It can be.
Moldy. Who would go and buy a can of moldy peanut butter?
You can just let it get moldy. Not peanut butter in my house, but, you know.
Yeah. Does peanut butter go bad?
It takes a while.
Which
is really strange.
I mean, because I've had jars of peanut butter that sit around for a long time without getting, like, ruined or old, or I mean, I always leave the lid, you know, put the lid back on. I have to leave the lid off in order for it to get like fungus or something. I don't know.
I don't know either. You might get ants before you get fungus.
Yeah.
Or my dogs might sniff it out of the cabinet.
Oh yeah.
Oh, by the way, how's the new doggy?
Charlie is doing great. He's a little bit psychotic, because he's a puppy.
Yeah.
So in comparison to our older dog, but yeah, he's adapted quite well.
Penny, 8 or 9?
Oh, Penny is, 9.
9, okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Winkleman's got a new dog too?
Yep. Saw that on Facebook.
Chewy.
Yep. So I might have go visit and see, Chewy. Maybe, a little play date with Charlie.
There you go. Yep. Hey, they're both puppies, yep. So. That could be a good call.
Yep.
Get them both socialized too that way.
I'm with you with Belle Biv DeVoe on this one. I seem to remember there being another hit that they did that is, you know, in my brain sticks out a little bit more. That doesn't come up on this list, does it? Poison. Yeah. So that'll come up a little bit. But as far as like Do Me, I was like, yeah, whatever. It's very much like everything else that they were putting out.
I'm not sure how it got to number 11 for the year. Cause I don't remember it at all.
Right. And I hate to put like a creamy label on something, like making it sound like it's bad. And that's not the case. It's just like, it's like everything else that's being out, you know, being released. So it's kind of just, that's the reason why it's not that big of, you know, like, it gets a creamy label in my mind, is because it's like, you know, well, it, you know, is it Jeff Peter Pan or whatever? It's just there.
It's the generic version. Yeah.
It's a generic version. It's the store version.
Dude, it's so funny that you just went down that path, because as right before you were saying that, I was thinking the same thing. I'm going, you know, it's like the generic version of creamy though.
Okay.
You know, like we can't.
Nothing.
So I was just about to ask you, like, which peanut butter brand do you actually prefer for your household?
Well, I mean, the Patty gets like whatever is like available at Aldi. So it's okay. Like, I don't like have like a diehard brand that I like to have. For me, I want crunchy, but she doesn't get crunchy for the house because I'm the only one that would eat it. But I seem to remember back in the day being a fan of Jif.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were always, like, growing up, we were a Skippy family.
Skippy, okay. All right.
And then, which would be a great dog name. Skippy!
wasn't he a cousin on Family Ties?
It was Skip.
Oh, okay.
Just Skip. I don't remember him being Skippy.
Okay.
But he wasn't a cousin. He was a neighbor.
That's right. Friend. Yeah, that's right.
He had a crush on
Mallory.
Mallory.
Yep.
Yes.
How many rabbit holes could we go down? Yep.
Yes. And we haven't even broken the top 10 yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're getting there. So Do Me, was that
Generic creamy.
Generic creamy. Okay. All right. So then that's where we're going to go with that.
Let's go with that.
All right. So our categories now are crunchy, creamy, and generic.
Generic, crunchy, generic, creamy.
Okay. All right. Well, I can go with that too. Okay.
Okay.
So we have four labels now. So we got the crunchy, creamy, which would be the premier brands, and then the crunchy, creamy, generic brands.
There's a mystery inside every bowl of new Undercover Bears oatmeal. To discover it, just stir.
Bears?
Undercover Bears.
It's good.
It's gone. Who can resist the oatmeal with soft, chewy bears that appear when you stir? Tempting maple brown sugar bears.
Strawberry, too.
And part of this balanced breakfast.
Breakfast? Here he is. I've got it.
New Undercover Bears oatmeal. Case closed.
Count Micro Machine Man here. I live for the night, so I carry my own light. Micro lights. Just touch them like so, they really glow. What a bright idea. You can try these Micro Machines lighted sound vehicle packs, each with an itty-bitty building, a real glowing emergency light, and two super sounds that sound so super. And you can check out these super micro lights with lights that glow and passengers to go. What do you know? Micro Machines, the real one, the original one. Micro Machines, micro lights, lighted sound vehicles, and super micro light vehicle packs, each sold separately from Galoob.
All right, number 10, Blaze of Glory, John Bon Jovi. I'm a fan of this song. I loved it ever since I heard it, and it was what, the Young Guns 2 soundtrack?
Young Guns 2, yeah. Yes.
I remember the video of it without even having to look it up right now. I remember it was like, you know, he was at a like an abandoned movie theater, not theater, but like a drive-in, and mm-hmm. then they were showing scenes from the movie, and it was just John in all his glory with its big hair and a leather vest and no shirt. So yeah, I remember, you know, it had a great sound, like, what was the other song that was like that from John Bon Jovi?
Wanted Dead or Alive?
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very much like Wanted Dead or Alive. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that it was like that. I love that take on Billy the Kid, you know, as far as what the message of the song was. So for me, this probably goes in, definitely in the crunchy category, because I just loved, you know, what it brought to the table.
Yeah. It had more guts, you know, just a little bit more. Crunchy is the only way to explain it. It's definitely crunchy. Plus I think a lot of the bands in that genre, from Bon Jovi and, you know, that the more of the hair metal, whatever you want to call it, I think a lot of those songs have a lot more crunchy feel to them anyway, just because they have a heavier lead guitar, which always has a good crunchy sound to it. And it's just, I love Young Guns. The first one more so than the second one, but I like the second one too. And it was cool that they kind of tied together with, you know, I had Bon Jovi as the, singer of the song for the main song that was representing the movie.
Yeah.
So very cool.
All right. So number 9, where are we at?
Rock the Cradle of Love by Billy Idol. Crunchy, because it's just a little, it's got that more of a rock and roll sound to it. I don't know if it's a love song. I can't remember all the lyrics. I can hear it in my head, but I can't remember the lyrics. It sounds kind of creepy. Cradle is usually young children, but that could be taken a lot of ways. I don't know. Strange. But Billy Idol definitely always had a heavier sound to him. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You remember this one?
I do. I remember this song, but I didn't remember the video until I just started playing it a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts off with a young girl kind of trying to seduce a guy in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing but crunchy with Billy.
And I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy that doesn't want to be known as creamy.
No, he wouldn't. I'm trying to remember where this video ends up. I mean, she's really kind of going crazy throughout. I'm skipping ahead. And she's kind of doing a strip tease, and he's just kind of freaking out. Where do we go?
Freaking out which way?
Like, nervous? Doesn't know, should he do anything about it? And...
Devin here.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And then, like, it looks like her boyfriend or somebody or whatever comes picks her up at the end, after she's been, like, going crazy in this guy's apartment.
Huh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I was stammering right there because I was curious I was trying to remember where the video went. And it's like, now that I saw the end of it, I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, he's, like, some nerdy, like, you know, guy, you know, suit, tie, that kind of thing, and she just is a neighbor or something, or knocks on the door, and so she starts playing music, being Billy Idol, and getting very seductive and dancing around, and kind of to the point where she's going to take advantage of him, And then after doing this whole dance and all that, dude's getting all kinds of nervousness and freaking out, not doing anything about it, of course, because, you know, he's a nerdy guy and he probably doesn't know what to do. Then there's a knock on the door, and, you know, then it's probably the neighbor's boyfriend or whatever, and he's like, is Debbie here? And he's like, yes. Yes, she is. And then she leaves. That's the end of the video.
Okay.
So, leave it to Billy to kind of give that kind of message.
Strange.
Yeah, but fun. It was fun for what it was. And crunchy. Is it generic crunchy, though?
Yeah, it's kind of generic.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's tough for me to, like, see, you know, after seeing Billy and The Wedding Singer, it's tough to give him generic.
Okay, no, he was pretty cool in that. I like that one. That's good stuff.
So it's like, yeah, you know, we're first class. We can do pretty much anything we want. So that's the reason why it's tough for me to give him a generic. I got to give full-fledged premium peanut butter, or crunchy peanut butter to Billy. Number 8, Hold On, En Vogue.
And I did not know this song at all. This was I was wrong. I thought the Belle Biv DeVoe song, Do Me, was the last song I didn't know. Hold On by En Vogue is something that I'd never heard of either. It's really bizarre. They have like this, a good 30 to 45 seconds of a cappella harmonizing.
Right.
With the girls. And it takes a while to actually hear the first beat of the song. You're like, oh, that's really bizarre. I don't remember that at all. Not ringing a bell. And it's number 8 for the year. Can't believe it. Yet Free Fallin' by Tom Petty is way down at number 66.
What? I didn't look past 25.
Right. Free Fallin', 64. Number 64, Free Fallin', Tom Petty. Now, maybe that has something to do with when it was released. I don't know the date. You know, if it didn't come out until December, then it's going to have a hard time catching up with somebody that released in January.
All right. Well, this list is obviously whacked in the head. There's no way Blame It on the Rain, Milli Vanilli hits 46. That should be number 2, 3, maybe.
Blame It on the Rain.
That's a number. Oh, that's top on. 5 song right there. I don't know. What the hell?
How about I Remember You by Skid Row, number 72.
Good stuff right there. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what?
Oh, my gosh, really? I got to see when this was released.
Which one?
Just wait
okay,
for
I'm
it.
I'm waiting for it. I don't know. I'm tempted to just end this right now just based on the Milli Vanilli thing, because really that really should be top 10. Blame It on the Rain.
Can't figure out when it was released.
Look at that. New Kids on the Block was in there too. Step by Step, number 33. They're still doing their thing.
Okay. Now, I do not like this song. It's annoying to me. Annoying as hell. But you still hear it today. And that is Love Shack by the B-52s. It was way down at number 78. Now, how the hell did that get beat out that far by, like, this Belle Biv DeVoe and Maxi Priest?
Yeah, you got to wonder, you know.
It's got to be a release date thing.
Yeah, it's like one of those. How long did it take for it to become kind of the... Yeah, the popular song that it has become. But then again, Love Shack has become one of those that's always going to be played at, you know, the wedding receptions, at big gatherings. That's going to be another one in the arsenal of the DJ.
Right.
All right, so where were we? We're going to go.
We're on number 8.
Number 8. Hold On, En Vogue. It's creamy and
generic
and like you, I started listening to it and I was like, I don't remember this at all. So easily forgettable, and it's amazing that it made it up that high on the list.
Yeah.
So number seven, Another Day in Paradise, Phil Collins.
Big Phil Collins fan.
I like this song.
Always love. Yeah, and it's a good song.
Yep.
It's slow. It's definitely, it falls into the creamy category, but it's more of a brand name. You know, it's either Jif or Skippy or something.
Yeah.
It's not a generic. Just because Phil Collins, I think he carries a lot of weight with him. You know, his talent and his history in the music industry. He's an amazing musician.
Now,
in my opinion, you know, some people might not think, but I think I've always liked him.
Now, the lyrics on this one, wasn't that the one where, they talk about seeing like somebody that's homeless or whatever. And
yes.
So Another Day in Paradise is kind of a sarcastic, phrase in this respect.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a happy, uplifting song.
Right.
The title may sound different, but it's definitely not a happy song.
Right. It's like, you know, the message behind like Future So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades. You know, that is not supposed to be a happy-go-lucky message. Another thing with, you know, same thing with this song, Another Day in Paradise. But it's definitely a wonderful Phil Collins song with a social message. You can't go wrong. It's going to be premium, creamy, for what he gives in this song. So number six, Vision of Love, Mariah Carey.
So I forgot how talented her voice was. She's an incredible singer. And I remember the song. After I listened to it, I remember it. I'm like, wow, this was one of the ones that I actually liked by her. She doesn't really fall into my favorite genre for sure, but I do appreciate her for her singing talent. She's incredible. Incredible voice.
She definitely does. She got some wonderful vocal talent on this song. And another great one of those songs that doesn't rush anywhere. You know, and it's really just showcasing her talents. I don't remember much of the message behind the song, but I just remember it being very impactful, where you were like, just Mariah was belting it out, and you just loved the ride.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Yep.
Definitely falls into the creamy category.
Definitely does.
I don't know if it would fall under generic or not. Just because I appreciate her voice so much, I think it's a little higher than that. Anyway.
Yeah, just the...
Go ahead.
No, I was just kind of scrolling through the song and trying to pick up, her like high notes and low notes or whatever. But, just got so much vocal talent. I would give it a premium. Creamy.
Okay.
So that gets us number five.
Don't Just Stand There, Let's Get to It.
Vogue.
Strike a pose, there's nothing to it.
Madonna.
Vogue.
I don't know how to feel about this song.
Why? That's funny. Why?
We had songs in the past with Walk Like an Egyptian, and that was kind of like, funny poses or whatever. And I don't know, was this song's mission to try to make another funny dance, for people to have at, when they're like at the club? So I don't know what the mission of the song was to be. Or just, was she just highlighting the fact that she's upper upper tier artist or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what the message was supposed to be around it. I mean, it's an okay song, and I like the song, but it's not that, I'm trying to understand what's the synopsis behind it. Mm. What is she trying to tell us with Vogue? And maybe I'm trying to read into it. Maybe I shouldn't be reading anything into it. Maybe it should be just simply strike a pose, there's nothing to it, Vogue. And just go with that. I don't know. I feel like that there should have been, that maybe there's something with the message there that I missed.
Yeah, I don't know anything about a message there.
Okay.
I just think it's a pop song that she wrote. I think she's being
Madonna.
Madonna.
Yeah. She's being Madonna-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you like Vogue?
It's okay.
It's okay. All right. Well, that wasn't a very strong.
Nah, it's something that you hear on the, you still hear it on the radio today on some of the stations that do, the best of the 80s and 90s or the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s and 2000s or then and today. And, a typical radio station will play this.
Yeah. And I think, there's a lot of diehard Madonna fans that would be upset, that I was, not all excited about the song.
Or that I am so nonchalant about it.
Yeah. There's plenty of other Madonna songs that that I'm a fan of. If you were to go Borderline or you were to talk about, there's a song called Don't Tell Me. I love that song. So, there's plenty of, Material Girl. I like that song. So there's plenty in her arsenal, but I don't know. When I got to this one, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. So, Vogue was okay for what it was, being, her height of popularity. But yeah, for me, it was, I don't know, without really understanding kind of what her message was or what the, what was she trying to accomplish with the song? Then I don't know.
I'm gonna give it a generic crunchy, just because she was always on the trying to push the envelope in certain areas. She's always, she was the front runner for a lot of different types of music, or different artists that went into that genre or whatever. But she was always pushing the envelope. And if you look back into the 80s when she did Like a Virgin, I mean, everybody was all up in arms about that.
Yeah.
So just because of who she is, and she's got an edgy attitude and persona, then I'm going to give it a little bit of crunchiness there.
So generic crunchy.
Yeah.
And I'm going premium creamy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Premium because, she's got to the status of just needs one name. You say Madonna, you know who we're talking about. So she is, she's premium. That's just the way she is. I can see her putting in any other category. I can't, with this song, I can't put it into a crunchy kind of status.
Okay.
But that's me. So number four, Poison, Belle Biv DeVoe. That girl is poison.
Yeah, no, I remember the song.
Yep.
And again, it's another, it fits right into the whole, that pop, I guess pop R&B, really.
Yeah.
Borderline hip hop. Not full on hip hop, but dancey, poppy. Bobby Brownish.
Bobby Brownish.
So, I don't know. I don't know if it's a creamy or crunchy song, though. I can't really nail it down.
Yeah.
I guess generic creamy, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of listening to it right now. If there is a Belle Biv DeVoe song, this is the first one that pops in my brain. Is it kind of like everything else that was kind of coming out by, like, these guys and, you know, that kind of, I don't want to label them as a boy band because they weren't that. Because I consider them kind of slightly more talented. Than a boy band. I mean, the guys that were doing the R&B stuff, they to me, it felt like they had a bit more talent to them because they had more of another piece in their arsenal that they were bringing to the table. It wasn't just the harmonies. It was also being able to put in an edge of rap with it.
Right.
So I think there was something a little bit more than just... It was one step up from a boy band. For Belleville DeVoe and everyone else that was kind of in that, in their genre. I like the song. And I remember it being impactful because of, you know, like I said, as soon as you think Velvet DeVoe, you think Poison. But is it like, I don't know, a wonderfully awesome song? It's tough for me to say. I don't mind it listening to it. I don't need to, like, you know, put it like on a constant playlist. But if it's on, I'm listening to it and I'm letting it play out.
Okay.
So where would it go for me as far as status of, like, I'm probably going generic crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got kind of the message for this song, you know, that girl's poison. It's okay. A little bit on the edgy side.
Okay.
All right. So that gets us to number three, Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
She's a cute bald chick.
Cute bald chick. That's all you got? She's a cute bald chick.
No. It was very interesting how much popularity she got just because of her video. And all it is, you know, it's like basically her face.
Right.
Through the whole thing. And her singing right to the camera. And she's bald. And I think that threw a lot of people off. She shaved her head, you know. Actually, wasn't completely bald. She had a little bit of a shadow going, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a stubble look.
Yeah, it was like a stubble. Yeah. Right. So I think she made more impact because of her look at first, but I always liked her voice too. I think she's really talented. She's Irish singer. Just really, I love her voice. And that was a heartbreaking song. That she misses her lover or whatever. So I'm going to go crunchy on that one just because it's heart wrenching, you know?
Okay.
I don't know if crunchy, maybe not, maybe creamy. It's still a love song, right?
It is.
This is kind of a sappy love song. Like I said, that's pretty much what wraps up most of these songs, sappy love songs. But I actually liked it when it first came out. I got kind of burned out on it just because they played it over and over and over. I think I liked it.
You think you
now
liked
I'm
it?
Starting to, now I'm starting to think, did I really like it or was it just kind of cool because it was trendy? I don't know.
Well,
I don't. But how did you feel about this
one? I label this song TSMS. This song majorly sucks. Really? My God. First time I've heard it to the 100th millionth time that they played it on the radio. This song sucked. Did not like it one iota. No, I as talented as you can sit here and say Sinead O'Connor is, I'm not buying it for this song. This is a skip in every sense of the word. Hey, Google, skip. Next song, immediately, now.
Or you're fired.
I will replace you with Alexa.
Can you tell Google to never, ever, ever, ever play Nothing Compares to It?
I'm sure there's a way.
There's been a couple. I think I've heard a couple people remake that song too.
Yeah, there's nothing about this song I like. I don't like it one bit. Ever since since my first time hearing it, and they played it so much, and every one of the times I heard it, I was like, I just wanted to leave the room. I've got nothing. If there was a moldy peanut butter category, this would be it. I've got nothing good here. There's nothing to see. Move on. So let's go to number two. Must Have Been Love, Roxette.
But it's over now.
Was it Must Have Been Love?
Another sappy love song.
Yeah, I
but it's over now. Oh, man. Got so many of these sappy love songs on this list.
There is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I knew it from. Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned that. I was going through the list with, we were visiting with a friend. We met her and her kids down in Siesta Key today, which is, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours from here. And she drove up from Fort Myers, but she's up in the, they live up in, Fox Lake. Antioch area. And, she was just down here visiting. So we went and visited her. And when you and I were talking about what topic we're going to do tonight, I pulled up the list and started going through it with her and Chrissy, and she's like, oh, that was from the movie Pretty Woman. And I totally would have never known that.
Well, I completely had forgotten it had it not been like one of the things that they flash on the video, like, you know, about, you know, a few seconds into the video. And then I saw the scene from Pretty Woman, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I've always liked Roxette. I always enjoyed the the duo that was, you know, I don't even know the lead singer, the two lead singers' names.
I don't even.
Yeah, but I remember enjoying Joyride, The Look.
Yeah, she's got the look. Yep.
I mean, very catchy songs. They were definitely in their niche, in the pop rock top 40 kind of genre. And that this was in that same wheelhouse and something that they were, you know, mass producing. And I remember enjoying it, you know, and, you know, I think it's probably, you know, a remnant of the, you know, being associated with the soundtrack, you know, like Pretty Woman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, which, you know, we started to fade away from, you know, as we started moving more into the 90s and, you know, away from the 80s.
Right.
So I think this is, you know, because, I mean, obviously it was impacting for Pretty Woman because, you know, you were talking about your friend picked it up, you know, like that. And then once I started watching the video, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So Pretty Woman is one of my wife's favorite movies. And I'm trying to remember where that song was placed in the movie.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
I think I saw that movie once.
No, I've seen it a few times. I'm just trying to remember.
Back when it came out.
Yeah. I remember Rose was not a fan.
Yeah, I know. Chrissy's not a fan either.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, even now I just can't place where it was in the movie. So that's gotta be creamy, in my book.
Oh yeah, very creamy.
Very creamy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because this rock said I'll give it a premium creamy.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you at, generic creamy?
Yeah, probably.
I would figure.
I mean, it was all right.
Okay. And then that gets us number one. We're there at "Hold On" by Wilson Phillips.
Definitely a creamy song. back again to the harmonics, the harmonies,
harmonics,
the harmonicas. You know, they really jammed on the harmonica. Their singing talent is really amazing. The way they harmonize together, it's just beautiful. And yeah, it's a cool song. It's got a good message, you know.
Yeah,
it's positive. It's a positive message.
Yeah, you know, it's basically telling us that, you know, if you're having difficulties or pain or something like that, you just hold on. You'll make it through. And you know, that's the right message, you know. And I think, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, you had kind of a rampant of teen suicides and things along those lines. And a lot of, a lot of focus being put on, you know, the youth of America, taking things, you know, stressed out a lot about things beyond their years. And, you know, to put kind of a focus on that and, this kind of message in a song, you know, that's exactly what we needed, you know, back then.
Right.
Was, you know, that's, you know, take a breath, you'll make it through, you know, and, you know, I think there was something along, you know, that, you know, you know, help is available or something along those lines. But, you know, it's that message. And I loved, like I said, Wilson Phillips. I enjoyed listening to them. And I remember having the cassette. And Hold On was definitely, since it had so much airplay, I, you know, voluntarily played it, you know, multiple times. And I know that I even have that liked on my my playlist now on Google devices.
Well, this song reminds me of something my grandpa used to say. And it went something like this. From the day that you're born till you ride in the hearse, there's nothing so bad that it couldn't be worse. Hold on for one more day.
Wow. Your grandpa said that, did he?
He really did. No, he didn't say hold on for one more day. I added that.
Okay.
But it was the other thing he used to say. He's being funny.
I love it. His name?
My grandpa's name? Ernie.
Oh, that's funny. My grandpa's name was Ernie too.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's not a very common name.
Ernest.
Yes, Ernest Finney.
Ernest Saul. How about that?
Very cool. Yeah, strange. Nice. Strange coincidence.
We didn't even realize that.
Don't tell me your grandmother's name was Irene, please.
No, Mildred.
Oh, same era though.
Yeah,
definitely.
You can tell by the names.
Yeah. You don't hear those names anymore.
Yep. All right, so that is our top 25 songs from the year 1990, and our classification of whether those things are creamy or crunchy, or generic creamy, premium creamy, and generic crunchy and premium crunchy. So we threw that little addendum.
And mold.
Go ahead.
And moldy.
And yeah. maybe crusty would be a better word. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crusty peanut butter. Yeah, imagine that.
So old that it like dried out and got cracks in it.
I don't know how old peanut butter would have to get to that point.
Pretty old. Yeah. That's got to tell you how many preservatives are in that shit.
Yeah. I would think that you would definitely get the oil separating. You would have that layer where you have the oil separated, and I think the bottom layer is what would become cracked and dried out, but that first layer would almost have to evaporate, and I don't know if that's even possible.
Do you know what happened tonight, though? We did not mention two things.
Okay.
We did not mention the Star Wars Holiday Special or the Forbidden Zone.
You know, would our listener, would our listeners mind if I just hung up on Scott right now? We lost Scott, but here's the rest of the show. Oh my God. Well, now the holiday special doesn't show up that often in a conversation.
I know. I'm just
being goofy. You are, but Forbidden Zone unfortunately does.
It really does. Yeah. It's amazing how often that comes up.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking that as a follow-up to our previous conversation where we talked about our Potterilogy, I almost thought that, you know, maybe there should be an additional episode talking about the extra Star Wars stuff.
Well, we could do that.
So, you know, and then that's when you can spend time with your holiday special, and we can also talk about, you know, like the follow-up cartoons that were released, droids and Ewoks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the expanded Star Wars
universe.
Thank you. Jesus, that word escaped me.
The expanded universe. Which is always expanding.
You know, that's the thing. That's the problem is I don't have bourbon going on right now.
Oh, you're probably on the wagon right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I haven't touched any for a bit.
Yeah.
And probably not a good idea with the medicine, I would think.
Yeah, I know. Well, it could be fun.
Could be fun for you guys on the show.
Yeah.
And then with me, I'd be like, recording what? What the hell? I don't care. All right, so this is the part of the podcast where I remind you that we have a website out there. It's BANZAI, RetroClub.com. So go out there, check us out. There's links to our social media, which would include Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. We also have links to our blog and then also links to email. So if you want to shoot us an email or if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do all that through our website. As I said, BonsaiRetroClub.com. There's also, we ask you that if you have one of those Apple devices, go out there and give us a rating and review on iTunes and hit subscribe for us. We'd very much appreciate that. And then I'd like to tell everybody to have a good whatever and be excellent to each other. Goodbye.
And don't forget to check out our MySpace and GeoCities stuff
too. Yeah, MySpace. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of work with MySpace lately. We have that updated. Scott
and Prodigy.
Yeah, Scott, I know you're really heavy into updating that.
Oh yeah. All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai! Don't you know?
to change. Things will go your way if you hold on for one more day. Can you hold on for one more day? Things will go your way. Hold on for one more day. Change, things will go your way if you hold.